Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to be with you. And I'm excited. I'm energized. I'm energized because we've got another great returning guest. Lynette Cox has been with us before, and she's the CEO of The Money Coach. .net and themoneycoach.net is the website, and she's an author. She writes for AARP. She's all over the place. It's kind of humbling for me because she really is walking the walk, and she's doing plenty of talking too. She has a great bit of experience both as a personal financial expert, television and radio personality. I'll try to get a word at edgewise after the introductions. Author of 12 books, including the New York Times bestseller, Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom. And I'm excited. I love having somebody on the line like Lynette. And she's written a couple of very interesting articles recently that caught our attention. In fact, I was, again, humbled to have the opportunity to be quoted in one that Lynette had written for the AARP Retirement Tips for Singles. So, hey, Lynette, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, David. I'm trying to keep up with you.
All right. Well, I like that. It's a contest.
There we go.
We'll keep each other rocking and rolling here. And it's good to be energized by these topics because, you know, I know in the work that you do, and you work with a variety of different people and organizations, and, you know, it's always good for people just to get that fresh perspective. And I know that you've appeared on hundreds of radio programs, Oprah, The Talk, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Steve Harvey, The Today Show. I mean, so you're talking all kinds of people, but, you know, they all have a lot of the same questions, and they also all fall potentially prey or get sucked into some of these financial myths that are out there. And I'd love to hit you. I know you wrote about this recently, about the money myths, and you had actually identified six of them. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to just dive right in with that because it really goes to the heart of how people view money and how they're trying to move themselves forward, but they get sucked into some of these myths that get in their way.
Right. I think a lot of times, David, that many of us just don't get ahead financially. We don't achieve the independence that we want, the career success that we want. We don't have the net worth that we want because, unfortunately, we're often shooting ourselves in the foot. And a lot of times it's based on our belief system. Some of it is rooted in childhood and just sort of things that we've come to accept as true over the years. And it's really not true, but it tends to dictate a lot of people's choices and their personal and financial behavior. So, yeah, I wrote about these six money myths to tell people to say, hey, put a spotlight on this. Is this a myth that you believe? If so, you got to ditch this belief because it's not doing you any good.
Good for you. Well, and I think you've already kind of alluded to the first one, which, you know, dare you say it, Lynette, because be careful, you're going to catch some grief on this. The myth that everything is somebody else's fault. Now, hold on, hold on, because that really is a reality or a truth that a lot of people are not prepared to deal with, that is a myth in many, if not most cases.
You know, this is one of the things that hit me in the gut, frankly, because this was a case where when I was deep in debt, you know, back in early 2001, and I started digging myself out of debt, I looked at a whole bunch of things that had gone wrong and a whole bunch of things that I could point the blame point a finger at someone else. But really, what I've come to realize over the years, and obviously not just for myself, but I mean, for hundreds and hundreds of people that I've coached, for thousands of people that I've talked to, and just, you know, for millions who've even read my advice and shared their own stories with me. Until you come to the point of financial acceptance and you get into the head that you actually do believe that your finances, whether good or bad, are actually a product, a direct result of what you've done or what you've failed to do, you're really not going to be able to change it around. So the idea here is to tell people, if you're going to always say it's somebody else's fault, your ex-husband or your ex-wife, your boss, your crazy coworker, you know, your kids who are sapping all your money and asking you for loans, whatever, if you're constantly saying it's somebody else's fault, you're giving away your power. You're basically saying, I'm not in control of anything, and my life is just you know, a series of reactions and maneuvers and responses to what other people have done, whether it's the government, whether it's the stock market, whether it's the real estate environment. You know, you have to say, okay, have I done anything to contribute to where I am? And if so, what is that? It's really about taking a harsh look in the mirror and accepting responsibility. Very tough pill to swallow, you're right. And a lot of people will argue with me and say, you know, but my spouse died. That's not my fault. Or I got laid off. That's not my fault, is it? And what I tell those people is, of course not. And I'm not, you know,
You're not judging people.
Right. And certainly not judging. What I'm saying, though, is that were there holes in your financial plan? Did you have a plan B? Did you do some things to prepare for the what-if scenario? And in most cases, when they're honest, people will tell you, no, I didn't have life insurance. My spouse didn't have life insurance.
Yeah.
I didn't have savings, you know, in case I got laid off, that kind of thing. So you have to accept responsibility.
Well put, Lynette. And you know, an analogy which may not resonate with the youngsters of today with the technology they have and video games and whatnot, but the analogy that popped into my mind as you were describing that is, are you a pinball or are you a paddle?
Exactly. Oh, that's a great analogy.
I mean, if you're just going to be bounced around the board,
exactly.
You know, or are you going to actually have some effect on the game yourself and push the buttons and try to keep it in play and take that responsibility to keep it out of the gutter?
I love that. Can I borrow that?
Absolutely.
Maybe I'll write about that.
I think it's a great.
Are you a pinball or a paddle? I love it.
All right, it's all yours.
I'll give credit to you
about it. You might even interview me for it. Who knows? But, you know, I think that it is something that people need to embrace. And it is, you know, that moment you described, that kind of that harsh look in the mirror. You know, I think everybody who's had to deal with difficulty in their life, they've had that moment where they go, you know, yeah, it's easy for me to say somehow, some way, this is George Bush's fault. But no, you know what? Maybe it is mine. Maybe I do own this and I could have done better. And, you know, I'm a financial guy, and I think about these things myself and go, you know, David, you know, you could have done that better. I mean, you could have done better. And I think we all not only admit that, but then as we go forward, embrace it. Don't just use it to reflect on and beat ourselves up. That's not the point of this, right? It's to proactively think about where we want to be and take steps, because we are, to a large degree, in control of what we do.
Right. I read this story. This is sort of an aside, but it very much ties into the idea that it's someone else's fault. And I'll make this very quick. Read a fabulous story online about this mom, single mom. She was actually married. Long story short, marriage was disintegrating. She and the husband decided they were going to move, not just any old move out of the country. She was in Houston.
Oh, boy.
They agreed. She went to Abu Dhabi, of all places.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Last minute, before she makes the move, the husband calls her and says basically he wants a divorce. She hops on the plane anyway. She relocates her kids. She goes and does this major life move, knowing my marriage is kaput. I'm just going to pack it up. She got a job. In other words, she transformed her life. She didn't just say, oh, it's my husband's fault, my ex. He didn't live up to his end of the bargain. He ditched us. She's having the time of her life. She did this 2 years ago, and I read some articles online about her. But I thought, wow, what an inspirational person, and somebody who personifies this idea that I'm going to take life by the by the horn, so to speak.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm not going to just live in the blame game and have a pity party, because I have to ultimately be responsible for my life. And that's what she did. Very, very inspirational.
Excellent. Well, there are thousands of stories out there. They're told and not told. And when thinking of another analogy, when life gives you the horns, you grab a hold of them and jump on the bull's back and ride off.
There you go.
Yeah. It's good stuff, Lynette. Lynette Cox, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of the MoneyCoach.net. MoneyCoach.net. And the books, latest books, College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate, dare I say, debt-free. And then College Secrets for Teens, money-saving ideas for pre-college years. We'll grab a quick break, and we'll be back with Lynette. Stay right there.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, Isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we are back with Lynette Cox, and I enjoy having Lynette come back and talk to me and talk with you, ladies and gentlemen, about what's going on in her world. And the website is themoneycoach.net, and she's 12 books and counting. You got more lined up, Lynette?
I'm always writing a book,
right.
I tell you. Yes, right. I do.
Good
I'm
for
doing
you.
More in the College Secrets series, as a matter of fact.
Very
We've
cool.
gotten good, a lot of good response to that.
Excellent. So. Well, I'm glad to hear it. And, you know, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Lynette about just one of the recent articles she wrote, and she and I are digging into the money myths. And for the next one, which I think is really going to also be surprising to people, is this myth of, if I just earn more money.
Right.
And I got to tell you, before you weigh in, for years, I mean, for 18 years, Lynette, I've never had a person come in and say, you know, I don't really need that much, or I've earned plenty, or I've got plenty of money, or every time I hear, not every time, but most of the time, if I had a little more, I'd be all right. If I just had made a little more money, or if I had one more zero behind that account statement, I'd be all right.
Exactly. And it's nothing but a myth. It's one of those things where, because we're in, you know, this consumer-driven culture.
Sure.
And because a lot of people tend to, unfortunately, gauge their self-worth based on their net worth, or sometimes even on their bank account, the zeros, as you just mentioned,
right.
They just think that that's the answer, earning more, that instead of making $50,000, if I made $80,000, I'd be great. The person who's making $80,000 is thinking, if I just had a six-figure income, all would be well.
Right.
You know, the person making $120,000 wants to make $250,000.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But really, the truth of the matter is that it's really about your spending. It's not about what you earn. And I know that your listeners have heard a lot, you know, perhaps about everything smart on the financial planning side, whether it's being tax-wise, right, and keeping
sure.
more of what
sure.
you actually earn,
mm-hmm.
About financial planning for the long term. But if you're not on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis being conscious about your spending, you're probably making a number of significant financial flubs. And one of them is you probably have your head in the wrong place, and you're thinking that it'll be okay. I just make a little more money next year.
Right,
this was an okay year. But that is the wrong mentality. I tell people now that there is no level of income that can't be outspent. None.
That's so true. That's so true, Lynette.
You could make $1 million. You could make $17 million a year. You could make, when I do workshops, I show a couple of celebrity examples, and one of them I give an example of Nicolas Cage, who, you know, phenomenal actor. Really, I like his work. But this is a guy who was making $20 million a picture at one point.
Right.
And he still ended up bankruptcy court and foreclosure and all this other stuff. It was because his spending was crazy. It was insane. It was completely out of control. So don't think that, you know, and I'm not bashing him. What
no,
I'm using
not at all.
Is an extreme example. And you could look at any number of, you know, high-profile people. And, again, I only use them because the listeners will know, whether it's a Britney Spears or a Mike Tyson or, you know, take your pick, or Michael Jackson even before, you know, his death. These people spend at incredible levels. They've made a ton of money. So what I'm saying to the average person making $40,000, $80,000, $150,000 a year, it's not a panacea. It's not just some magic bullet that, oh, instead of $150,000, now you're making $1.5 million. If you haven't gotten your spending habits under control, your spending will remain out of control.
Well,
your habits and lifestyle as you make more money will just grow.
Adjust,
it's,
yeah,
you know,
lifestyle
it's a
adjusts.
Phenomenal income, you know, economists call it income creep, right? Mm-hmm. The more you make, you tend to think, oh, I can have a little nicer lifestyle.
That's right.
You know, I can have the nanny. I can have the private school. I can go on 2 trips a year. I can do a 3-week vacation instead of 1 week, and it just goes
on
and on and on.
That sounds good. That all sounds good to me, Lynette. You're selling me on it. No, it's not how much you make. It's how much you keep. I mean, it's not that complicated, but it is natural. It is normal. And then you talked about culture, Lynette. Good grief. We are bombarded on a daily basis by hundreds of messages about Absolutely. All of this, encouraging all of it. And then within somebody's chosen field, there is all a whole nother level of, you know, like within a financial services community, there's a constant bombardment of, if you're not making this, or do you want to make more, do you want to take your business to the next level? You know, it's a constant barrage of messages. And, you know, it is about how much you are spending in a large degree. And, you know, one of the questions I'll ask people when I meet with them, Lynette, I think you'll appreciate this, is we talk about spending. We talk about, you know, I'm asking about debts. And if there is credit card debt, you know, one of the things that I do is I will, of course, build into my financial recommendations for the client how to pay those off as quickly as possible, because they never, you know, they're never a good part of a financial plan to have a credit card debt. But in making my recommendations, I make them with a catch or a requirement that they identify the credit cards, they figure out which one maybe has the highest limit card, and I tell them as part of the recommendations, you've got to cancel all the others. Because if you keep those credit cards, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a temptation. Keep one for emergencies, or have one you pay off every month, but keep it for emergency. But get rid of all these, because they're just too much of a temptation for people to turn right around and build them back up.
Right.
Spending.
And it becomes a crutch, too, for a lot of people who haven't learned to live on cash, haven't learned to control their impulses, haven't learned the art of delayed gratification, right?
Oh, yeah.
The credit cards become a lifestyle support. You know, it's one of those things where, okay, I don't have the cash, I don't have the money sitting in my bank account, but I do still have more available. My credit limit hasn't been reached just yet, and that's a dangerous thing. So you really don't want to just fall into the myth of believing, oh, if I just earn more money, you know, I'll be just fine.
I'll earn my way out.
Yeah, exactly. Because you'll probably keep spending at the same level.
Well, and the corollary, or tie to flip the coin over, the other part of that is the myth that if you are doing that and you are spending, then that means, of course, that you're not saving as much as you could. And some people say, yeah, well, there's plenty of time for saving later. I'll get to that later, Lynette. Don't push me on that. I got money to spend right now. I want to feel good, live good, do well while I'm able to do these things. And I'll save later.
Yep. And not only that, I'll do a number of things later. That's one of the biggest money myths that people believe. And it's because they're procrastinating. Sometimes they're avoiding things. Sometimes they're living in a world that's just way too busy. Sometimes they've, you know, they really want to put it off because life sort of gets in the way, right? We all have careers and kids and community obligations and civic responsibilities and health issues. And it goes on and on and on. There's a million and one reasons for people to buy into the money myth that it'll be okay, I'll just get to it later.
That's right.
That's very, very dangerous. Usually, people wind up with major regrets when they don't buckle down and get about doing some serious financial planning. Saving, yes, is one of them, but other things too.
Oh,
like
sure.
The person who says, oh, I'm going to get life insurance. I know I need this because I have, you know, kids and, you know, God forbid if something happened to me, they don't get the life insurance. Or the person who says, oh, I know my planner's been telling me I need to create a will or sign off on it.
Right.
And, you know, 70% of all adults still don't have a basic, you know, will and testament. But these things, life has a way of sometimes very painfully just coming into reality. I'll tell you, I've not spoken publicly about this, but my sister, I have five sisters, and at the end of 2014, December the 30th, my sister Debbie passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. She was only 49 years old.
Wow.
Had a 11-year-old daughter.
Mm.
Totally unexpected. Completely out of the blue. Needless to say, very devastating for my family. I am grateful, however, that my sister was a planner.
Mm.
She was one of those people who believed in being financially organized and prepared. She did have a will. She did have life insurance.
Oh, thank God.
She did name a guardian for her daughter, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, what if she had not? You know, what if she said, I'll make a will later.
Or I'll do it tomorrow.
I'll buy some life insurance later. It would have been it would have been devastating for her.
Tragic.
For her, in so many ways, beyond the obvious
Right.
The financial component would have compounded what was already a very, traumatic situation. So, you know, every day the point is being driven home to me in more real and bigger ways that you can't just skate through life procrastinating and putting off good financial planning. Stop saying, I'm going to get to it later. Buckle down. Do it now. No excuses.
Amen. Amen, Lynette. I applaud your sharing that with us, and it is a really sad situation, and people need to really embrace the actions that need to be taken to get them and get their financial house in order. And, you know, part of the way people can do that, and we'll grab a quick break, we'll come back and talk about it some more, is getting financial help, because, you know, it's hard to sometimes figure these things out on your own.
Yep.
Lynette Cox, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of The Money Coach, themoneycoach.net. Books, College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate Debt-Free, and College Secrets for Teens, Money-Saving Ideas for the Pre-College Years. Quick break, and we'll talk about how do you get financial help. Stay right there.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are very lucky, ladies and gentlemen, to have Lynette Cox back on the line with us, CEO of The Money Coach, themoneycoach.net. And we are talking about a recent article that Lynette wrote talking about the 6 money myths, and we are blazing our way through them. We're all the way down to number 4 because Lynette and I both like to talk about this stuff. So, you know, one of the things that I know is a real myth for people, and again, some of this is reinforced by some of the financial services companies that, you know, that do try to cater people to the do-it-yourselfers, if you will, and there's certainly plenty of places where that makes sense, but there's so many areas that people don't really understand. They don't know what they don't even know, and they can get themselves in real trouble, or they're stuck in a rut. They don't know how to get out of it, or they need perspective and financial help from a qualified, experienced advisor could just make such a world of difference. But people sometimes hesitate because they worry that the cost is too high, or they just don't want to pay fees.
Right. And, you know, it's the old school thinking, to be honest with you.
Sure
it's
it is.
Really very much the kind of thing that people who haven't quite pulled it all together yet financially, who haven't quite achieved financial independence, especially if it's been generational, they'll believe. They'll just think, oh, this is for rich people. Or, you know, only the wealthy have an accountant, a planner, an advisor.
Right.
No. This is how you get to become wealthy, by having a team, you know. And so part of what I tell people when they say, I can't afford a financial advisor, I say, you can't afford not to have a financial advisor.
Exactly. Amen. Tell them, Lynette.
And, you know, it's really, really not that complicated. I tell people all the time, look, you interview a couple people. I like to see people interview 3 professionals.
Yep, agreed.
Preferably in person. You
agreed.
Ask them about their education, their experience, and ask them about the kind of clients that they've worked with. Ideally,
good.
You know, they should work with some clients whose situation has been similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, are going with somebody who only deals with, you know, entrepreneurs with, you know, who are multimillionaires, and you have a, you know, $80,000, $100,000 portfolio, and you work in corporate America, you know, it may not be the best fit, maybe, but maybe not.
Just right.
The idea is try to get somebody who's very accustomed to working with someone like you. Ask them about how they're compensated.
Good.
There's a lot of honest advisors out there going to be very straightforward and tell you. So don't duck the issue of pay. You know, just are they on commission? Is it a flat fee? Is it hourly? And a lot of people will give you just sort of a free consultation right up front. And then you can check out their history, too, you know. FINRA will, you know, kind of let you do that.
BrokerCheck at FINRA.org. So
yep,
that's a good place to start.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely
right.
You'll be surprised
what you
see. And they have this database. It'll tell you about, you know, a broker's past and where they've worked and if their registrations are up to date and, you know, all that good stuff.
Good.
So, but the idea is you do want to feel comfortable because you need to be honest with this person. You need to share and you need to tell them the good and the bad. But this is the person who's going to help you to reach your goals. I mean, you have to see this person truly as a member of your team, someone who's going to help you get ahead because
they
really can give you that kind of
good
advice or maybe help you to see if you have been a do-it-yourselfer, holes in your game plan or areas where you've not yet addressed that need to be tackled. And so I think, I strongly believe that one of the biggest differences between those who are financially wealthy, those who are financially independent, and those who have achieved higher levels of economic success is that they have a team in place. They have crucial advisors to help them to make good decisions or put them on the right track or help them to course correct if things go astray. And it's hard to do that for yourself. It really
is. It is. And you can't see the forest for the trees. You're in the middle of it. It's hard to have the perspective. There's things that if somebody's done something for, you know, I've had my own company for 18 years, Lynette. I mean, I've done this every day for 18 years.
Mm.
You think being a do-it-yourselfer, somebody's going to catch up with me in 3 weeks?
No way.
So it's well worth it. And the other thing that people may overlook, it's not just the things that they know that you don't know or, you know, any of that, or, hey, it's worth that for the advice. But you know what? Very often, we find fees and what people, they're paying fees, they don't even know it. And when they come on board and we help them, their fees are actually less, even though it's a more obvious fee, but it's less than what they're paying. Well,
it's
what,
you're giving them better disclosure,
exactly.
And they weren't aware of it before.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, Lynette, we'll have you back. Lynette Cox, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of themoneycoach.net, and her books, College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate Debt-Free, and College Secrets for Teens, Money-Saving Ideas for the Pre-College Years. Go to the website, themoneycoach.net. Lots more information about Lynette and her good work. We'll have you back, Lynette. I always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having me. Appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.